And so education has become decadent, and it's all materialistic, and they've lost spiritual values, and all of our problems and troubles are spiritual, and they're only teaching physical and material knowledge. And it won't solve any problems, and so the world suffers on. Business and industry, I'm showing that it's all get. It's all dog-eat-dog. It's all trying to take profits away from the other guy. It's all unfair and hostile competition. I quote from leading businessmen that they don't know. One man says, I only know two men, and I know the men in the business field, and I only know two who ever rose to the top honestly, and I'm not one of them. It's almost impossible today for a man to rise to the top in business and industry unless he gets dirty and does a lot of dirty things. Sure, that's in the Wall Street Journal. I'm telling them. I'm not mincing words with them. And I'm telling them about the law of God, that it's the way of give, not get. It's the way of love, outflowing love. And you're not living that way. We had a time when labor hadn't gotten organized yet, and in each business, the employer and the employee were a team all together pulling for that one business. Of course, they were in competition against some other business, but at least that part of the team was still together. But union labor came and made the employer the enemy of the employee. And now within their own home and their own family, they're all broken up. And now it's coming even into the individual family in our homes of individual people. The kids are the enemies of the parents and the parents of the children. They don't eat together anymore. Mom and Dad are both at work all day long. And while they're at work, the kids are at play in Mom's or Dad's bedroom, having sex games on Dad and Mom's bed. That's what they're doing today. That's the world you live in. That's the way of Satan. Satan tries to tell you that's the way to enjoy life. Mom and Dad enjoy being out both working. So Mom has her own money. Dad has his. And, of course, pretty soon Mom and Dad don't get along. And Mom says, well, I'm going to sue you for alimony, and I'll have that in addition to my part of the salary, and I'll get half of your salary beside. Equal rights doesn't mean equal. It means Mom wants to be, she wants three-fourths of it and leave one-fourth to Dad of their combined earnings. And the kids, well, they can make the shift for themselves. They'll go to the devil, but who cares? Mom and Dad don't care. They enjoyed the sex, and the kids came along. And the kids are a responsibility, but Mom and Dad don't want to carry any responsibility. Let the kids take care of themselves. What do I care about my own kids? I don't want kids. We've talked about the population explosion. You don't need to talk about it anymore. I don't hear much about the population explosion now. 10 years ago, I did. But they aren't having so many children anymore today. But they're having lots of abortions. That's all right. We believe in murder. The Supreme Court of the United States has approved that. The United States says, in God we trust, on one of our paper bills. But the only God they trust is the devil. We teach evolution. We pass laws that you can't have any kind of a prayer in school. The Supreme Court of the United States says it's unlawful to say you can't murder an unborn child and have an abortion. You tell me God isn't going to punish this nation? You bet God's going to punish this United States of America. We're not living God's way. Capital is against, labor is against capital. Well, and capital against labor. Mom is against dad. The kids are against dad and mom. We're all divided. That's the world we live in today. I'll end up a Pentecostal preacher if I don't cut this out. I get aroused on these things once in a while. So, even if our gospel is veiled, and it is, and people don't really get it, they don't really get what we're saying. I hope you're getting today what I'm trying to make it plain. It is veiled only to those who are perishing. Are you one who is perishing? You're not. Now, that's in the Revised Standard Translation. They're not perished yet. They are on the way. They're being perished right now. Or you are being saved, but no one is saved yet either. You're just on the way. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds. Now, this is that very famous fourth verse of 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. You should have this verse memorized. In their case, the God of this world, who is Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. You see, Satan is the god of this world. For what we preach is not ourselves. Paul didn't preach Paul. I don't want to preach Herbert Armstrong. Maybe I mention a thing or two once in a while if I think it's setting an example, if I think it's good for the rest of you, but I don't want to do it for... I'm certainly not doing it to toot my own horn or for my own glory. What we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. And I hope that's what I am, just a servant. Nothing more. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. Transcendent power. Transcendent means supernatural and transcending way up above anything human or us. And that power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. I'm going to say this. Now, we have lately been persecuted. But we've been delivered since we had the last Bible study. Yes, persecuted, but we never gave up. I didn't lose any sleep over that at any time. I just really never did. I knew God would bring us through and deliver us. But let me tell you, Satan will try to bring something even bigger on us now if he can. I don't know how he can, but leave it to Satan. He's wily and smart enough to think of something bigger. But even then, God will deliver us. You don't have anyone else to trust. We can't trust in ourselves. We can't match Satan at all. So he says here, persecuted, but not forsaken. God never did forsake us, did he? Struck down, but not destroyed. Maybe Satan will strike us down even more, but we won't be destroyed. The work will go on. We'll be there to make that new covenant with God if we qualify. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Death is at work in us, but life in you. That isn't very clear. Let's see. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us. Well, death is at work in us, and we're dying to the wrong way of living and so on, but life in you. Well, us there, he means the ministers, and life in you, meaning the church. Since we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, quote, "I believed, and so I spoke," unquote, we too believe, and so we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Now, just think of that. He was faithful to raise Christ. You know, Christ really hated to have to go to the cross that night of that Last Supper, the Passover, with his people. He was human, and he was also divine. But being divine, he did go because he had come for that very purpose of death. But he did know, and he never doubted for a second, that God would raise him up. He knew he would be forsaken. On the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The human part in him cried out. But he knew that he had to die. And he was alone. God wasn't there with him any for the minute. God left him to die. Then God raised him back up, and he knew God would. Now then, as sure as God raised him, he will either raise us or bring us into his kingdom that will be the same as a resurrection at the second coming of Christ. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. And we have not today. In the church, we knew God would deliver us. You see, this lawsuit is the first time that Satan had ever struck at the church as a whole. It's the first time the church as a body had ever been persecuted by Satan. You ever think of that? I was persecuted, and I was about all there was of the church at the very beginning, way back there. But the church, as an absolute body, had not been attacked by Satan before. So I've been thinking maybe we are now just past that war in heaven spoken of in the 12th chapter of Galatians, and I think it's about verse 9. And in verse 13, you will find that Satan was to persecute this church. And then will come the Great Tribulation. That's before the Great Tribulation. And in enduring the tribulation, then he goes to seek them that are the remnant church that have the law of God and the faith of Jesus. And that'll be the Laodicean church. Now, verse 16, a new paragraph. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Now, he's talking to the church here. I tell you, the world that is... judgment is not on the world now. Judgment will come on them after Christ comes and after we have made the new covenant with Christ, and we will then be immortal. We will then receive, at the time we make the covenant, we will receive that reward and the reward. See, Christ is coming and his reward with him, you read in Revelation 19. That's when the reward comes. We don't get the reward now on this life. But that reward is immortal life and a position in the kingdom of God. Then judgment comes on the world, but it is not on them now. Now read that last verse. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. We will be ruling then with Christ and bringing salvation to all the world. And there won't be any devil around to tempt them at that time. They will then be called. They will then be judged. They're not now. Now, they are being held accountable now. That is, they will be accountable. How do I get that? They're not being judged or held accountable now. But they're being given a chance to do what they do and will be held accountable for what they now are doing. They're going to have to answer for what... It doesn't mean that it's all right for them to do anything they want and they get away with it and there'll be no penalty. Oh, no, they're going to come up, and those who have done little offense will be punished with few stripes. Those who have done a great deal of evil with many stripes. And I preached a sermon one time when there were people that were unconverted and they thought they could do anything they wanted. That they didn't have to keep the Sabbath. They didn't have to tithe. We in the church have to do those things, but they didn't have to. They could do anything they wanted. So I preached to tell them that they're going to be held accountable, and their time of judgment is coming. And I preached that sermon up in the Gene Schoolhouse out west of Eugene, Oregon, back in the year of 1933. And I remember it very well. One man had been bragging he didn't have to do these things because he wasn't converted yet. And he says, when I get converted, then I'll have to keep the Sabbath and I'll have to do these things. I looked right at him. He was there. And I said, you... If you take that attitude, you're going to be punished with many stripes when your judgment comes. And really, he began to keep the Sabbath and began to tithe. Then before the next Sabbath, his tithe money came to me. Preparing for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's what we're going to get. Because we look not to the things that are seen, that is physical, material things, but to the things that are unseen, or the spiritual things. For the things that are seen are transient, they come and go, and they don't last long. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Well, let's go on. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, that is, this physical body. Now, our consciousness is our mind, and it doesn't mean that it is a spirit, immortal soul or spirit, but it's our consciousness. But if the body is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, the promise, our citizenship, is reserved in heaven for us. And in the resurrection, we will not have the same body that we have now. Remember, we went through that in 1 Corinthians 15. It'd be a different body. But the spirit of man that is in us is like a mold, and that will form and shape other spirit to give us a spirit body that will look just like we did look, except our faces will shine like the sun. We won't be black or white or yellow or green or purple or polka dot. We'll all look like as bright as the sun. Here, indeed, we groan in this life and long to put on our heavenly dwelling. Now, people translate that to mean we're going to go to heaven. It doesn't mean that. It's reserved in heaven for us, and we would like, some might like to put it on and have that immortality now. That's what that means. So that by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent or in this body, how is that in the King James? See, that is verse 4 in the 5th chapter. For we that are in this, he called it the tabernacle, yeah, I remember, in the King James, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now let's just see how that is here. For while we are still in this tent, or he calls it a tent instead of a tabernacle, in other words, this body is what it's really meaning, to put it in modern English, we sigh with anxiety, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. In other words, this mortal is just so much matter, and it's going to go, and we, in the resurrection, will have an immortal spirit body. We'll have self-containing life. Your automobile has to be fed just like we have to be fed. It has a stomach, the gas tank. It has a carburetor, and that's like our lungs, and so on. You know. But and it can die, and so can we. But it's just like you'd have an automobile that would have life within itself. You never have to put any more fuel in. It'd just go forever. No more fuel or anything. I never could get out of fix or out of repair or anything. That's the way we'll be. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. In other words, now I think that is the earnest of the Spirit, isn't it? Let's see, verse 5. He that hath wrought us the selfsame thing is God, for the selfsame who also has given us the earnest of the Spirit. That's the down payment of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, this human fleshly body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, from this human fleshly body, and to be present with the Lord as we will be in the resurrection. Now, a lot of people take that mean to go to heaven. It doesn't say go to heaven. There isn't a word there. Our citizenship is reserved in heaven. The Spirit that is the mold that will form the new spirit body, where is it? Well, God has taken it. And maybe it is kept for us in heaven. Because at death, the man dies, his breath goeth forth, he dies, the spirit returns to the God that gave it, And he returns to the dust. And the body is buried into the ground and just returns to dust again. But the spirit that is in us returns to God. However, if we have the Holy Spirit, that is the earnest of the down payment of life. We are begotten as the children of God. Now, let's get that fifth verse here in the Revised Standard. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. It's a down payment, and that's what an earnest is. If and you buy a piece of property, you make an earnest payment. It's sort of a guarantee. And in other words, you forfeit that if you don't go ahead and buy the property. Now, we got an earnest payment of $500,000 on the sale of the property over at Big Sandy. And the sale never went through. But they guaranteed that that they would buy it. They didn't. So we kept the guarantee. Otherwise, there would have been no guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, that is, in this mortal flesh, and our minds are in it, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith. You see, he's in heaven, and we're walking by faith here on earth, not by sight. We are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord, as we will be in the spirit body, but that'll be here on the earth, and we're going to sit on his throne with him in Jerusalem, and we're going to be given power over the nations. We're going to be with him where he is, and where is he going to be? He's going to be here on the earth, and that's where we will be with him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That is when he comes. But of course, a lot of people will not come into that judgment seat until 1,000 years later. So that each one may receive good or evil according to what he has done in the body. Now that shows that those who do evil now are going to give account when their judgment comes. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but what we are is known of God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to be proud of us, so that you may be able to answer those who pride themselves on a man's position and not on his heart. We're to be always ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us, as another scripture says. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we are convinced that one has died for all, which is Christ, of course, died for all. Therefore, all have died. Well, all men die in Adam, but in Christ we shall all be made alive, but some only to the great white throne judgment. Doesn't mean all will be made alive to immortality. And he died for all, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who, for their sake, died and was raised. Now, those who live might no longer live for themselves. Most of the people in the world live only for themselves and for what they can get in the passing moment. We are to live for Christ and for the hope that is in the future, and that hope is the resurrection and immortal life in the kingdom of God, and making this new covenant with him I was talking about. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once regarded Christ from a human point of view, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not just a new creature, but he's a new creation. They claim they're born again if they're in Christ. Now, literally, they are not. Figuratively, you can be born again in this life. And I have been thinking that this morning I was just thinking, well, I've got some new clothes on now that fit me. They're not any better than the clothes I had. And the clothes I had were practically as new as this. They just hadn't been used. Now, they were 4 or 5 years old. Some of my suits had not been worn very much, but I've just shrunk for over 40 pounds, and they didn't fit me any longer. But I was thinking of myself, and I could say that I am now the new Herbert W. Armstrong. I'm not the same Herbert W. Armstrong I was before I died over 3 years ago, 3 years ago last August. And here's 2 months after August this year. We're already into October. So I hope that my life has been renewed a little bit. But that the real born again that God was telling Nicodemus about is in the resurrection, when you're born a spirit being. See, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And I hope I became a new Herbert Armstrong when I was converted back in 1927. And in one way, it isn't that I've been converted, because I already had been, but I feel that it is like I am a new Herbert Armstrong now than I was even 3 or 4 years ago. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, to reconcile us to God. Well, the ministry of reconciliation in Christ, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Now, there's quite a lot in that right there, if we get it. God is not... Now, let's see, let me get that again. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Now, I say they're going to account for what they're doing now. They will. But if in their judgment, when their judgment comes, they do repent and they turn from that life and turn to the law of God, the way of God, the way of love and of give and of cooperate and help and serve and share and receive through, because they begin to believe God and to live the way God says, then all that is back will be then forgiven. I say that the world is going to have to account for what it's doing now. They don't get off scot-free. But just look what it is. When their judgment comes, if they will then repent and change and turn. Christ has paid for their past, and all that past will not be held against them any more than our past is being held against us. But even some who have been in the church and who go out angry, They don't see that. They think that whatever you ever did is still being held against you. But they don't seem to think that anything they have ever done is being held against them. They're sinning right now in the very things they're doing, the lies that they are spreading, making false accusations, which probably they're guilty of themselves. Because one is always guilty of what he accuses in the other. But notice, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. God won't count that against them. If God doesn't count what I have done against me, why manufacture imaginary things I never did and heap that as if that makes me bad now? I don't think anyone paying any attention, though, to those rumors and those lies. I just don't think they are. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation, that is to reconcile others to God through Christ. So, we are ambassadors for Christ. If you want to know why the college was named Ambassador College, there's a reason right there. We are ambassadors for Christ, and I was hoping that the college would train people to be ambassadors for Christ, and it has. Some of you in this room were trained to be ambassadors for Christ in that college. God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him, that is, he made Christ, to be sin who knew no sin. In other words, made him to be sin. He took our sins on himself as if he had done the sinning himself, which he never did. And when he died, he paid for our sins because he had taken them on himself as if he had done it. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Well, that finishes the fifth chapter, and now we come to the sixth. We've finished the fourth and fifth now today, and I think that we'll stop there for today. Well, I had more comments that this triggered than I did commenting on what was actually said and expounding what was said in these two chapters. However, there is quite a little there that does trigger other comments.